unless you are converted and become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. He said, unless you are converted and become like little children. I want to actually add something to this. Not that he wants us to be like children, but I want to say he wants us to be like angels. Don't we say that children are like angels? So God wants us to convert and become like angels before dwelling in heaven. Because these are the only creatures that can make it there to heaven. And no matter what it takes, we have to be converted here to angels before we travel there. As you may know that my mother-in-law was suffering from cancer lately, and she passed away 2 weeks ago. And I was meditating how many cancer cases and why people get sick before they die, and they face a lot of suffering these days, and with much, much more than before. And I found like God has to purify us before we go to heaven, or else we're not going there. That's it. The thing is, he said, in order to be like angels or like kids, do whatever it takes, even if your hands causes you to sin, cut it out. It's not a joke. It's not an option. This is like the condition of baptism. Anyone who's not baptized is going to make it to heaven? No. Anyone who's not converted to a kid or angel can never make it there. And I feel like sometimes God gives us these days much, much more trouble than ever before, especially before we go to heaven, in order to prepare us and purify us before we go. Some people understand that, some people don't understand that, but it's very important. If you read The Quiet Time a couple days ago, it was from the Epistle of St. John. It was beautiful. It says, 1 John chapter 3, and it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. What a blessing that God calls us a children. What love that God calls us a children, His children. Therefore, the world does not know us. You know what it means? We are His children. We are His angels. The world does not know that, does not understand that. You look exactly like any other man or woman outside, but you are not. You have a child heart. You have an angel spirit within you. Or hopefully, that's what we are aiming in this life before we transfer over there. Beloved, now we are children of God. That's what St. John is saying. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We don't know what we're going to be. But we know that when He is revealed, when He comes, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We will be like Him. In His holiness, in His purity, in all His character, we will be like Him. Children are like their father. And our role here in heaven is to be converted and transformed into His image. When God created man, He created man in His image. He wants him to be like Him, to look like Him, in His character, in His discipline, in His way of life, in His love, in His purity. And then he finishes with this verse in 1 John chapter 3. And everyone who has this hope in him, anyone who has his hope to see God and to be like God, what does he do? Purifies himself just as he is pure. Anyone who has the hope of heaven purifies himself just as he is. We start this word as little children, or I want to say it, little angels. And then so many things go on in life. But make sure before we get in there that we become angels again, or else we cannot make it, no matter what it takes. Jesus said, what causes you to sin? What makes you impure? Your eyes block it out. That's how serious it is. It's okay. You're going to lose your eyes for a little bit. Of course, he doesn't mean the physical eyes. But what he means is, no matter what it takes, get it out of your way in order to purify yourself, in order to be ready to be transformed, to be like him. Many times he said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How can we be perfect, God? He says, I don't know. You have to be like me, or else you're not compatible in order to come and live with me in heaven. We have to understand that. He said many times, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Sometimes when we see this, say, be holy, be perfect, this is impossible. I'm not getting there. You can't even try. No, that's not true. It's a process. It's not something happens overnight. It's a process of life. That's why God gives us many, many years in life. And make sure not to waste a second in it. Because God gives you just enough time for your conversion. When we are in our mother's womb, we are being converted from little cells, from no shape, to human being able to live in the world. And in this world, we are being converted in order to be heavenly creatures, to live in heaven. That's the goal of everything we do. That's the transformation, to be in his image. God takes us through a long process. Some people need 20 years to finish this process. Some people need 50. Some people need 70. We've got to finish what we have to finish before we get there. This process that God takes us through in order to become like children or like angels is called purification, or the biblical theological term is sanctification. Maybe sanctification is a big word. So the simple word is purification. Purifies us in order to be ready to get there. We have to be aware of that. How can we do that? Sanctification or purification, the goal is to be holy. Can we make ourselves holy? No way. Can we make ourselves sanctified? No way. Can we make ourselves like angels? Absolutely not. But he can. And he wants. He's able to do it. And he will do it in us. But we need to allow him to do that. Only through him and through his Holy Spirit. That's why he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to dwell within you, to transform you every single day and every single minute to my image. But make sure to keep my Holy Spirit within you, to inflame my Holy Spirit within you. The more you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's the spirit of sanctification, it's the spirit of holiness, the more you will be purified and the more you will be holy. The more you have the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is like being charged. It's like plugging the battery into electricity in order to be fully charged and always charged. So any minute God asks us to be ready, we're ready. Have you ever tried to travel with an empty battery on your phone or in your laptop? And you've seen the frustration of doing that. you're like in the airport or you're in a car, you don't have a charger, and people want to call you, and there's no way of reaching you. You have a cell phone to use for emergencies, you can't even use it because the battery is not charged. That's a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Useless. How does this happen? It happens through two things. Very, 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 very simple. We're not saying anything big. Very basic things. It's two things. Prayer and the Word of God. The prayer and the Bible. That's what actually sanctifies us. There is a very nice verse, 1 Timothy 4:5. Maybe you can go back home and check it out. I didn't get a chance to print this for you or even put it on a PowerPoint, sorry. 1 Timothy 4:5 says, "For it," or every creature, he was talking about every creature, "it's sanctified by the Word of God and prayer." Everything is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. The oblations here, the bread and wine, how do they transfer to the body and blood of Christ? How they are sanctified? Through two things. The Word of God, the Bible that we read here, and prayer. Any sacrament happens through the Word of God and prayer. Very simple. How you're going to be transformed into God's image? Through the Word of God and prayer. We know that. And we do read the Word of God. And we do pray. Why we are not being transformed? Why we're not like angels? Sometimes I feel I'm more close to the devil than the angels. Why? We do pray. And we do read the Word of God. Why it doesn't happen? It's exactly like someone saying, "I did charge my phone or my computer before I traveled." You did charge it, that's true. But you did charge it for a very, very, very short time. It's almost nothing. By the time you power on the phone or the computer, it's gone. So it's not really charged. We're missing the quantity and the quality of our prayers. That's why the prayers don't change much in us. You know, the sanctification, the purification, all these blessings, when do we receive them? We receive them during the time of prayer and reading the Word of God. During that time. It's exactly like charging the battery. And if we don't have enough time for that, then it's not being charged. It's empty. And will continue to be empty, run on empty all the time. That's what it is. There's no sanctification. There's no purification. I'm trying to be as simple as possible today. So I'll give you a verse that most of you know in Arabic and in English. It's actually the very first psalm and the very first two verses in the first psalm. I think everyone in the world memorizes the first psalm, or at least the first verse in the first psalm. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or sit in the way of the mockers," right? "ليتوب للرجل الذي لم يسلك في إيه شورة المنافقين." كلكم حافظينها وشاطرين. Arabic is a little bit better than English. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But in his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. وفي كلامه يلهج إيه نهارا وليلا." He is plugged day and night. He is being charged day and night. In his words, he meditates day and night. He is being purified and transformed and changed day and night. I want to give you an advice. When you read the Bible, one of the most important books in the Bible is like the Gospel of St. John, is the Psalms, is the book of Isaiah. Usually when you read something important in the Bible, try to see the first thing. What is the first time this was mentioned? What is the first psalm? What is the first verse in the Gospel of John? Or the first verse or the first chapter of the book of Isaiah? So that's actually a summary of the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man who meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. And he keeps on by, he's like a fruitful tree that's bearing its fruits in its time and all of this. Why it's fruitful? Because it's being plugged. It's being fed. The prayer and life for a longer period of time, for an extended period of time, for a charging, it's called meditation. There is a name for that. When you spend some time in prayer and reading the Word of God, we call this meditation. Meditation means you take something. Actually, here where it says, on His law He meditates day and night. The original Hebrew words came, He chew day and night. He chew on it. He's eating it. He's going through it back and forth. You know the process where the camel eats the food and recycle it somehow and things like this. He used exactly the same word. I don't know what it is. The process that the camel used to recycle the food and chew it and re-chew it and go over it over and over. That's called meditation. Maybe it takes one word. Maybe it takes one verse. Maybe takes a short prayer or a short verse, and on it he chew day and night. Why? He's being transformed. He's being this verse. He's being this prayer. He's being on His image day and night. We are definitely missing the life of meditation. When someone goes to a monastery, what do they teach them first? Meditation, life meditation. How to be quiet and calm and think about something good and pure from the Word of God, or how to pray and take your time in that, because it's important. When someone comes here to St. Mark in D.C., what do we teach him first before we saying hello? Quiet time. We give him the guide for quiet time and say, if you don't use that, you're not one of us. Okay? And then, that's what is the quiet time? It's a life of meditation. It's learning how to meditate, whether in the Word of God or in prayer. How to chew on it. We know how to read the Bible, but maybe we don't know how to meditate. How to use it more, how to digest it more and more. This life of meditation includes many things, includes silence. Silence in the presence of God. Calmness from inside, from within. Quietness, a little bit. Of course, when you're hearing me saying all these words, say, you must live in another world. You don't live in our world. We don't have any of that. The world we live in doesn't have any of that. No calmness, no quietness, no solitude. What is this that you're talking about? You know what the problem is? You know the disease of this age? And I have this disease before I say it, so no one claims that I say anyone, you know, I'm not labeling you. We all have ADD, attention deficit disorder. We all have it because of the world we live in. No attention to anything. We can never concentrate. We cannot focus. We cannot sit still. We cannot take anything and concentrate on it. That's actually the way of life these days. It's good to be multitasking, and if you're not like this, you could be fired from your job. You gotta be really fast in everything. Even when you eat, you have to eat fast, and you eat fast food. People don't watch trees and birds. You know, there is something ancient called like bird watching, tree watching, things like this. These are ancient things. Now there is video games and, you know, TV and all these many, many toys, the iPhone. I don't have it yet, thank God. What does this do? Kills your meditation skills. We don't know how to meditate. Everything around you kills one thing, your meditation skills, your inner calmness, quietness, and solitude. You sit in a hairdresser, you put 10 magazines next to you in case, you know, you're bored in 10 seconds, you're waiting. So, you know, you're not like frustrated and keep bothering them. Doctors are even smarter. They put 20, 30 good magazines, you know, because they keep you longer, so you don't complain. It's a complex life in general. Does that mean we're going to lose our eternal life because we live in such a world? Does that mean that it's impossible? Does that mean that we're never going to do it? No meditation means no sanctification. Right? No sanctification means no conversion. No conversion means no heaven. I'm going to say it again. No meditation means no sanctification. Because only during the time of your meditation, you're being transformed. Let me give you an example. You're here in the church. You sit through the liturgy. 2, 3, 4 hours. Your mind is wandering the entire time. When you go out, what do you think? What you get out of the liturgy? More worries. More problems. Your problems got actually bigger in the church. Why? Because you've been meditating and thinking on these problems for 2 hours. Because you're stuck. What are you going to do? You're standing here. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. So what do you think about? We usually think of problems. Or distractions. This is the first complaint that I get from people. I'm distracted in a time of prayer or liturgy or Bible reading. I get nothing out of it. People tell me before I close the Bible, I completely forget everything I got out of it. What is this? That's actually a lack of meditation and the skill of meditation. On Friday night, we had a night of prayer from like 9:30 p.m. for the youth till 1 a.m. And then when we started the prayer, we said, what do we want from this prayer? And then we agreed that we want to be in the presence of God. And when we're in the presence of God, we're going to put the most important thing that we're gathered to think about, which is actually, we were thinking about mission and doing mission work and doing something to serve God, you know, in that aspect. And I want to tell you that this time, every single person agreed that we were in heaven, we were not on earth. Why? Because we were there for a long time. And we were there for quietness. We were not praying a lot. We were more silent than talking. We were experienced meditation. I want to tell you actually a surprise. Most of us don't even experience what prayer is because we never come into the presence of God. We recite some words. In order to experience prayer that really takes you to the presence of God and to heaven, and you feel you're closer to heaven than earth, when you take at least an hour or two being silent and in meditation and in a spiritual mood in order to prepare yourself to pray. with full concentration in order to pray. Then, and only then after that, you discover that you are not on earth. You're in heaven. That's meditation. You wonder, other people do yoga and like meditation, and they stay for this for hours. It's needed. That's when the spirit really becomes active. We need that meditation skills, meditative life, or else no conversion, no change will ever happen. We'll continue to pray, we'll continue to read the Word of God, but it makes no difference in us unless we grow more and more in the life of meditation. I'll give you some hints or keys to meditative life. How to have a meditative life. It's an attitude, actually. By the way, before I tell you that, I've seen great people in my life and great saints. And in every and each one of them, they had one something common. All of them, they were very good in meditation, in quietness, in stillness, during the time of prayer and the Bible. That's where they get converted, as I said. Keys to meditative life. Number one, use free time as an opportunity. Think before you pick up your phone or PDA or your emails, because we tend to finish. We have 2 million things. Guess what? When these things are postponed for 15, 20, 30 minutes, it's not going to change. Nothing much is going to change. You think that half an hour is going to change your life and makes it easier and finish a lot of tasks. Guess what? No. But it's going to make a huge change when you spend this time in calmness and in quietness in the presence of God. Any opportunity that comes to you, use it. Don't let the world tell you what to do. Don't let others tell you what to do. Don't rush to open the radio or this or that to keep yourself busy all the time, listening to things, watching things, doing things. You need to stop all of this at a short period of time. Take time of silence before prayer. Quietness, calming the thoughts. Spend as much as you can time of just quietening your thoughts. It's an exercise. It's exactly like the physical exercise. You exercise your muscle, exercise your mind. How? By stopping, by try your best to stop thinking for even seconds. Maybe you're going to start with 5 seconds. And maybe it's going to grow to 10, maybe to a minute, to 2, to 3. Great. Grow in that. We need to think more of God than thinking of things or people. If you record what goes through your mind for one day, you're going to find 99.9% you're thinking either of things or people. And 0.1% you're thinking of God. Think about it. We don't think of God. Maybe I say, thank God, but I'm focusing on the gift that God gave me, on the blessing, on this. Even when I pray, I'm focusing on the problem that I want, not really focusing on Him. That helps in meditation. Exercise that quietness or solitude, as I said. Quiet time is a great experience. Spend some time. Do your quiet time daily. Spend time of quietness and calmness. Slow down in general. Slow down. Think about this. The fathers of the church call it the spirit of haste. Defeat the spirit of haste. Doing everything in haste makes you not think. And first makes you not think of God. Defeat and cast away the spirit of haste. That's going to save you a lot of money in driving. When you drive slowly, you're going to save a lot of time, especially if you live in Virginia. You're going to save thousands of dollars. Because the tickets are very expensive these days. I'm going to give you something crazy. The more you are busy, the more you need time of solitude. Meaning, if you don't lead a busy life, like you're a college student, high school, you sleep till noon, you know, you don't need a lot of time for meditation. Because your mind is off 50% of the time anyways. But if you're working 12 hours a day, then you need at least an hour and a half to calm this, to wash this, and to get into the mood. The more you're busy, the more you need time. I spend double the time of meditation than the time that I used in the beginning of my spiritual life or my priesthood. The more I get busy, the more I spend time with God, or else I'm going to be destroyed. I'm not going to be even to pray or think of God or do anything positive. That's a rule. When you succeed in this, you will find yourself praying longer time, spending more time in quiet time, and you have better concentration in general in your prayer and in your reading. So meditative life lead to sanctification, and sanctification lead to conversion, to become like angels or children, and that prepares us very well for eternal life and for heaven. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.